Deadlines, exams, constant pressure. Stress can feel like it's everywhere, but staying calm doesn't have to be impossible. Really Calm can help relieve feelings of stress by inducing a relaxing effect without drowsiness. Fast acting within 30 minutes. It's calm when you need it most. Stay calm. Stay you. Choose Really Calm, because your peace of mind matters. Visit reallycalm.co.za for more.
You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against black domination. I have studied the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Nelson Mandela University, change the world. Madiba's Radio, changing the world one voice at a time.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Law Show here at Madiba's Radio Podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. And of course, this episode is going to be a special episode because, listen, we're getting into the tea. It's about to be hot. Mm-hmm. But of course, introduce ourselves. My name is Tsoka Talentlovo. I like to call myself the brightest star on the airwaves. And of course, I'm not alone. I'm with the fabulous, the wonderful, the amazing, the greatest.
I am Katlego Mofokeng, also known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets. And we're bringing you all things post-election interviews. We're going to be talking about what actually happened during the SRC elections and what we can look forward to happening now that we have an SRC. There's a lot happening. People are in courts. So you best believe we're going to bring you all the tea.
And of course, we have a special guest in studio who I feel like had to witness everything. Yes. And had to account for everything.
Yeah.
Because, listen,
and got some of the brunt on it on social media. Bona.
Mm.
One thing about politics, you will definitely be burnt. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just part of the game.
Please introduce yourself, kind sir.
Hi, guys. My name is Maneli Seklas. Born and bred in Port Elizabeth. I work here at the Nelson Mandela University. Of course, I work at SGD, Student Governance and Development, under the Dean of Students banner. You know, the Dean of Students have various departments, so my department or the department I work in is one of those departments under the Dean of Students.
How did you come into work? How did you get your position? How did you?
Yeah, obviously, yourself? I've got plus minus 13 years in higher education.
Wow. Mm.
You know, I was a student at Nelson Mandela back in the days. And then I started actually here in 2004 with my studies.
Okay.
I should have started earlier, but I went to work. And then I think after 2 years or so, and then I joined what was called P Technicon, changed to the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University. So without discussing my qualifications, so I started working here in 2007 as a student assistant researcher in the student counseling department, working together with one of the researchers there, you know, Miss Delahape at the time. I'm sure her surname has changed now.
Oh, wow.
Because time has gone. I sometimes see her at the university, but of course, you know, it's almost like it's old faces, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I came back again, 2010. I worked in the Department of Continuing Education, with the short courses, and then I came back in 2013, at the end of 2013, after, you know, I've worked in other companies outside of the university. Mm. So I've been back here. I worked at the Faculty of Arts when I came back. Then 2014, I joined the Faculty of Business and Economic Sciences. Then 2024, I joined SGD. So I've got at least years of experience.
You know your way around the school. I mean, having worked with different faculties, also with the counseling services, I can imagine you are well versed in all things Nelson Mandela University.
Yes, plus I'm also, you know, I wear a different hat from just being an employee, within the unions, you know. But obviously we won't discuss that.
Yeah, because it's very murky right now.
That's another story for another day, you know.
But like considering how like you've been associated with NMU for so many years, what would you say has like changed versus like, for example, when you were a student back in the day to now? Like has like the culture and like the systems changed as the time has gone?
Yeah, obviously, guys. The back in those days, you know, it was post your apartheid type of system, you know. And the leadership of the university also, we didn't have, you know, like a black female VC and a lot of people in your leadership position, high positions of power, if you like, who are black, you know. Mm. Also, the fees must fall. I think it sort of shifted the paradigm, you know, of what we know, you know, higher education to be. So the space has really changed. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics, you know. As a student, you need to just observe what is going on a daily basis, so that things don't pass you by, you know. So I could say leadership has changed in the universities. The way universities are ran, and also just the activism of students, you know. You remember back in the days, we used to have like SASCO, AZASCO, you know. Nowadays, we have a full suite of, you know, student political organization. DASO, EFF, SASCO, MKSM, and PASMA, you know, and others that are coming in that are not, like, really, you know, recognized.
So, I mean, politics, you're right, political organizations have, I guess, developed over the years.
Yes.
And that does make sense. But we are realizing now, especially with the elections, there's been a slow voter turnout, a very low voter turnout, as compared to what I would imagine a voter turnout maybe in 2016 and 2015. What do you think is the cause of that?
Yeah, you know, in my opinion, because I think I must just base it on that, I mentioned the student activism type of challenges that are there. You know, student activists that I see currently, you know, I wouldn't say they are not as serious, but it's almost like the focus is just on getting there into the leadership and getting all the glory and the shining things when you are inside, you know, whatever benefits, you know, leaders get. Back in the days, we really wanted to assist students with their challenges. The challenges currently, they are glaring, you know. It's the way student leaders deal with those challenges that will make the student community interested in what it is that student leaders can deliver for them, you know, upon those challenges. Of course, students are trying their best. There's just a myriad of challenges currently. The funding, you know, which then leads to not having accommodation, not being registered on time, and all those types of things. So it's really, and it affects even some of the leaders who want to, you know, help other students who are. So it's just a lot of things actually that affects, you know, a voter turnout. But also, I think we need as an institution to realize that when we have SRC elections in the university, it's not SGD's project. You know, it's not student governance and development student. It's not just the dean of student project. It's an institutional project, you know. And everyone needs to come on board. You know, the faculties, for example, the executive deans, they need to know.
Yes, because there's faculty reps also.
Yes, there's faculty reps, you know, and they've got access to board of faculties, for example, where people can go there and say, you know, on a particular day we are having elections. Or they can talk to HODs, directors of school, yeah. Dean, mm-hmm. can you announce over emails, you know?
You know what I mean?
Good idea. They can even ask some senior lecturers, whoever is a known lecturer, you know, to accommodate students, to come in the lecture room and say, hey, guys, you know, we're going to have elections on a particular day. Vote for whoever you want to vote for, not us, you know, but just to assist the voter turnout, actually, to increase, you know, from what it is today to something better.
And like you mentioned how, like, you noticed how with like, the parties at times, it'd be a thing of, like, let me just get into power and then the focus of actually doing stuff is lost. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to find out, what would you say is the relationship between the SGD and all of the organizations? Especially considering you have to kind of keep a neutral point and lack bias?
Mm. Yes. So obviously, SGD, you know, provides that managerial, administrative type of guidance, you know, to students, you know. There are specific policies in the universities, the university that students need to observe in whatever they're doing. There's an SRC constitution, you know. There are do's and don'ts, you know. So whilst they have this power in their positions, they still need to be guided because the university is a system, you know, that is governed by policy, rules and regulations. You know, there's a general prospectus that says if a student, you know, crosses a specific line and does things that are not aligned to the university values, you know, then a student is going to be caught up in a serious situation. You know, so SGD is actually there also as a sort of like an enabling ground. So as to say, students, this is how we do things. This is how you can do this. I mean, that's the assistance I've been providing the political organization since I got them after one of the colleagues who are known in the university left the university, you know, through a resignation. So obviously those roles, they had to find someone within the department. Mm. And obviously, you know, from a director level, you will then be identified, no, so-and-so can perhaps deal with these challenges for now. Mm. So my name was just recommended. I'm not saying that I deserve it or not, but I'm there now and I'm just doing my best, you know. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I did my best to ensure that SRC elections are done, SRC election campaigns are done, you know, and everything is in order.
I mean, we saw that there were different. I think this year was different in the sense that SGD had a number of events that involved a lot of dialogues with students and political organizations on campus. And they were held on different campuses, so it allowed people to join at different campuses, which is great. And then D-Day comes, the election. Now, first, I'm going to tell you, I'm judging that first poster. I've been saying it for a long time. I'm judging that first poster.
What was going on?
What was happening? But then it was first announced that it was the 25th and 26th of September. Mm. And then it was postponed later to the 8th and 9th of October. And then the template situation happened and that postponement happened. Mm. And so what became a big issue was whether or not we actually had free and fair elections. And definitely there was a lot of pushback from different political organizations. So what is it that you can say has ensured that these ones, these elections that were held on the 13th and 14th of October, were free and fair elections?
Yeah, obviously, you would know, Katlego, that there's nothing that happens, you know, from thin air or from the sky, you know. There were various meetings that we sat in for consultation purposes. The first schedule, of course, it was a very tight schedule that I received from SGD, that we had, in fact, at SGD, you know. And it was a schedule that was sort of prepared according to previous years.
Okay.
Right? So things are changing within the system of the university. Things are changing within the way we do things, even in the department, in the division as a whole. So immediately when the service provider was appointed, you know, in a kind of a delayed stage,
yeah.
We then gave that schedule that this is what we wanted as the division, as a department, you know, because I don't want to exclude, you know, the accountability, you know, from at the higher levels.
Yeah.
So it's not my thing, but it's the division's thing. So we then gave the schedule, and then the service provider worked with what we have given him and said there are specific things that we might overlook if we need to press this schedule of the 25th and 26th. Mm. I mean, there are laws in place that guides elections, you know.
Yes.
And like I said, policy, there's a whole framework that guides how elections must be ran. Especially online elections, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done at the back, you know, to ensure the voters register roll, for example, is proper, you know, all those types of things. So having looked at all that, then we got a proposed revised schedule. Mm. We also communicated that with the almost like a preliminary electoral forum of some sort.
Okay.
Like with all the organizations, we're always called to meetings. I mean, we sat in, I don't even know from the top of my head how many meetings we sat, because other meetings were just urgent and we had to just go and sit with them, and, you know. And I'm so happy, and I must thank students, you know, for really working, you know, with us at SGD, hitting to the call whenever we needed them, you know, sitting in those urgent meetings. Because other meetings would be called almost overnight, or over a few hours, you know, like I send an email, for example, at 10, and I say there's a meeting at 2 or 3, then they would show up,
oh, wow.
You know, and sit. And contributed robustly in those meetings, fairly, dissatisfactions. Others agreed on certain things, because others really wanted to get to elections, get the elections done, you know, and of course succeed, you know, in the elections. So we had a number of consultations, Kajejo. We can improve with streamlining the overall processes, you know, within the university when we have appointed our service provider, just to make sure that there are no glitches in the system that would put us, you know, in a debacle, you know, if I can put it. Yeah.
No, but I think it's good that I think we can take accountability and also acknowledge the fact that there's a lot of work that goes into this.
Yes.
Into making sure that people get their access codes and the like. And I mean, we saw the intricacies when finally it was decided that we postpone elections, because it was about sending messages to the student body, making sure that they all had their access codes so that they knew that they were eligible to vote and things like that.
Yes.
And then they were still, while elections were happening, looking at the percentage of people that had voted as compared to those that are eligible. So I can imagine it's a lot of work that goes into this.
Yes.
But beyond that, also within leadership, it was viewed as, okay, once we're voting now, we're seeing some names don't show up. And then we're told that there is a list, and some people were on a red list as a result of certain things. So what was the vetting process for representatives?
Obviously, that is governed through, not. It's not like a criteria. That comes only from student governance, you know. It comes from the university prescripts, you know. For example, kind of leaders that are people who are not really having that type of aptitude, you know, and that those capabilities.
Yeah.
So, you know, even within the faculties, there's this thing that's called a readmission rule, you know, that says you must perform, you know, at this specific level, must have this amount of modules per year that you have passed, so that you don't get a letter that says poor academic performance.
Yeah.
You don't get a letter that says you are now excluded in the program. So all students who were outside of those categories, those were the students that obviously were considered to be nominees for any role within the SRC or local SRCs, etc., etc. And I must say this, when I mentioned the streamlining of processes, because remember, even within the team now of having a service provider and all that stuff, we have people who have different expertise. You know, for example, you can't expect the service provider to understand, you know, the readmission rules, for example. Yes. You can't expect them to be the ones who will explain to us or the candidates that you are registered for 5-year modules. You don't have marks, so therefore you are excluded. Mm. You know what I'm trying to say? You'll only have your marks at the end of the year. So you can be on the red, but, you know, you are not really a person who's on the red.
There's a reason.
You know, there's a reason, you know, behind that. Late registrations would have perhaps affected some students. I remember some of the emails and the complaints that I got when they wanted to appeal with the committee, you know.
Okay.
They were saying that, for example, I only got to register in the second semester. That's when I got the funding. But I've been doing the work, for example, the entire year.
Oh, wow.
So I've got like modules that I've done in the first semester, but they are almost like to be finalized within the process, maybe of exams, department, to capture those marks and all those types of things. Mm. Because you know how it is with the funding, man. The funding affects how students...
Quite a lot of things.
Yeah, register their performance in the modules and all those types of things. So all those things were considered. And unfortunately, some students did fall on the red due to their academic performance.
Yes.
Others were just there with due to unfortunate circumstances. And once those circumstances were explained, then we would then see them, you know, on the online voting process.
Okay. I think more than anything, I can say that it's important that there be transparency, especially within the SRC project or the elections. So I think a lot of students had qualms with the fact that there was not a lot of communication from the university regarding it. But when there finally was, then there was pushback from other political organizations. And I think you also faced some pushback in the sense that you were also confronted with certain posts being made about comments that you had made.
Yeah.
How important is that balance in figuring out, you know, with what you can and cannot say, especially in the heat of the elections process?
Yes. Look, we come from different backgrounds. As I said to you, I wear different hats within the university when it comes to, you know, the employee relations space, organized labor, you know.
Mm.
But also even outside the university, there's a lot of things that are happening, you know, poor service delivery. I was thinking along those lines, for example, for the post I got paid for. I was thinking about the coming local governance
elections.
But perhaps at the back of my mind, I didn't have any specific names of political organization, institution, or even SRC elections. You know, I was just thinking at the top of my head, you know, you can't wake up tomorrow and think you will win the hearts of the people, you know.
True.
Whoever the people are, you know, the citizens of the Nelson Mandela Bay, you know, maybe here at NMU, which I was not referring to, you know, if you are DASO, SASCO, EFF, MKSM, if you want to find yourself in the leadership, you know, tomorrow, you will have to do some work, you know, within the student community, because this thing overall, nationally, it's about service delivery. I mean, we see some powerful organizations. That's what I was thinking, you know. Their numbers are dwindling in terms of the support of their voters.
Because of the lack of voice.
That is why we are in a GNU situation, you know, in the country. So I was thinking along those lines, and I'm a student at the University of Conflict Management and Transformation, you know, with God's grace, if you know, I didn't have all these troubles this year, I would have finished, you know, this year with my qualification. So I've got that political lens to, in my own right as a leader, you know, to just assess. And, you know, I'm not a sweet talker, you know. I'm a straight person. So I would tell Inkokeli, the leaders, you know, this is what I think, and that is what has made me or broken me, you know. Mm. But also with the post that you are alluding to, Katleho, I think students writing whatsoever on social media, of course, in the current times, it does have a reputational damage, maybe now or in the future. And I mean, it's their way of expressing themselves. But I want to encourage that, you know, all of us within the Nelson Mandela values, that we respect each other, you know. Mm. We respect the dignity of the human being, you know. I have never not have my door open for anyone. And I think people would see statuses of me writing them because they are all on my phone, you know. They can WhatsApp me at any time, you know, and I haven't blocked anyone yet. But I must consider that moving forward. But anyway, I was saying to my friends that called me from New Brighton, from KwaZakhele, from KwaMaklaki, from Sherwood, from all the areas, when they see these statuses on Facebook, they say, "Manelisa, what's happening?" You know, I would say, and then I would say to them, even they wrote even about Jesus Christ, you know.
Yeah.
So there's nothing we can do, you know. In the heat of things, things get, you know, sad, and you know, there's nothing you can do about it.
Now we were done with elections. It's been decided. Seats have been allocated and the like. What is the next step? What can we expect?
Yeah. So the next step is, of course, an induction.
Ooh.
Training, you know, and what you would call an investiture for the SRC to introduce them to the management of the executive management of the university. So those are the projects or programs that are coming now. And obviously, the SGD, SRC election seminars, that took place during the SRC election campaigns. Mm. It's stuff that we want to cultivate into the processes at SGD, where we have master classes, we have on leadership, on ethical leadership, on this. Those are the things I started at Second Avenue in the local SRC that I used to oversee. That's I'm still overseeing it. So I started with that project, that side. But obviously, subsequently to that, I then got, you know, this sort of role just to assist with this matter, you know. So obviously, moving forward, I think the senior managers within the department and the director, they kind of like that type of, you know, training, you know, for our students. And I mean, it cultivates someone. I mean, it sharpens, you know, the leader. Because if you are required every quarter to go and stand in front of students and answer certain questions, to discuss certain topics, you know, I think it then builds that capacity, you know, from someone that even if they go out there in the world, you know, if you're saying you're from Nelson Mandela University, you can be a Nelson Mandela out there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us in studio. This has been absolutely amazing. Yeah. It's also been very enlightening. Literally. There are certain elements that we didn't know about. So thank you so much for honoring our invite.
No, I really appreciate it. And then thank you for considering me. I'm sure there's many people who could have called SGT. But for now, I think I'll be the sacrificial lamb.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, yes. I like
Radio. Welcome back. We've just had an interview with the SGD, and listen, it was hot.
So many things are happening. The thing is, you're not even ready for the rebuttal that's next week's situation.
Yo, because child, like,
there's so much drama,
and it's so entertaining,
right? Oh, but then again, now we have to focus on whatever is happening in the country.
True.
The uncute things. You think things are happening here at NMU? Wow. The country in itself
is on fire. Down. Like, it is going down. But I feel like I wouldn't say this is good news. Like, it's good news, but I'm also very skeptical about it.
I mean, of course, considering the fact that there's a lot of corruption, this does not sound like a great vibe.
True. So basically what's happening is that there's going to be a proposed high-speed train for South Africa. Now, the Department of Transport is reactivating plans to have like a high-speed rail link, between Joburg and Durban.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this project, it's planned to use like existing rail corridors, maybe around 120 kilometers of the current rail corridors, and then building new ones from like 160 to 200. And ultimately, on all of these rail corridors, the plan is the high-speed train is going to travel at 300 kilometers per hour.
Is this faster than the Gautrain train?
I think the Gautrain train is like 80 kilometers per hour.
What? So you're telling me I'm going to make it in Durban like that?
In 2 hours, basically.
Love it.
But then also my chat is, I mean, 2 hours is still a long time.
I know. And like the, literally a plane is like
an hour and a half. But I guess it's better than driving. 6 hours is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
But also, I love the fact that they're saying they're going to use existing infrastructure.
Mm.
And like we're pretending like the infrastructure itself is not being stolen.
Literally.
Like it's not being made a mess of right now, currently. Mm. Like the existing infrastructure is like, oh, perfectly great condition over the years of it being abandoned. Like how does that make sense?
Like it also doesn't make sense for me because also like I remember was it last month? But this was in Cape Town where I think in Cape Town they like upgrading the Praza lines where it's fancy now. But then I remember there was some point in the line where it has to be closed because once again, cable theft.
Because one thing about a South African, oh wow, Izinyoga Nyoga will come through.
Literally.
I can't believe that.
Like, and it's just like, listen, you know, on the one end, I understand y'all are broke. You know, you got to make ends meet. You
but
know,
the
cables.
Railway lines, guys.
Like, come on.
You could steal so many things. Railway lines.
Because how do you protect that?
Actually, like, who's going to be there all night trying to make sure that no one comes in? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And we can't just say, oh, we'll trust South Africans to be trustworthy. Mm. With a government like we do, like we have.
Especially because you can have the military or the police there, but it's like, hey, you know, you can just give a little coke and they look the other way, you know?
They're so comfortable doing that. That's the sad part about it. So I don't know if it'll work. I think in like a perfect South Africa, we'd have a working railway line that would actually link us. I can imagine Durban July would be a banger.
Literally.
With that type of train. It's a party train for 2 straight hours. Then you come out and then you get to Durban July and you have a good time. And you know, by the end of the night, my babe, I'm in Joburg again. Back in Sandton.
Like,
that sounds like a nice vibe.
Like, and it does. And I do feel like not only on the party vibes, but also on the economic sector.
Right.
Where it's like the amount of like, you know, trade that could happen. It's also like quite like, we can make money.
We stand to make a whole lot of, can you imagine literally a railway line from Limps to Joburg to Durban to Pietermaritzburg, guys.
It could be.
We have the opportunity to do so much because the border at Limpopo already is coming through with stuff. The hub and Durban already is also going to come through with stuff. So it makes trade way easier. Mm. But now the problem is, are we trustworthy enough to do that?
That's the thing.
And who's going to get that tender?
Because it's actually only projected that the actual like construction of the project is probably going to begin in 2032.
Guys, what is it? It's 2025.
Like,
you're telling me that's going to happen in 7 years?
And I think that's a frustrating thing about all these projects. Because even for the Gautrain, for example, I know they plan to upgrade it, take it to Lanseria, take it to Soweto, Riverwood, the East Rand.
Don't bring it to the East Rand. We're definitely going to rob you. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't take it. I love the East Rand. You're my people, but we know that you know how you are, guys. You guys bite balonies at house parties. You're not trustworthy around railways.
So, and that's only starting in 2028, and it's crickets.
Do you know the biggest issue I think is going to be, like, as time goes, obviously our political situation is going to change over time. A lot of people are disheartened by not only the GNU, but the majority party.
Mm.
So you can imagine once, like, power shifts, are those even still going to be possible goals?
True.
And also, who is it going to benefit then in the long run?
Because it's like, you have so many projects around the country, and you like, some of them you look at it, you're like,
this sounds like a bit of a joke.
Because it's like, yes, you can have this high speed train, but then it's like, if the ticket is 2,000,
I'm not trying to do that.
No,
that's too much money.
Get on a bus, rather.
At this point, yes. Like, I might as well get a flight.
You know,
it's easier that way. So that's also another thing. Is obviously when power changes, especially, it's going to be kind of murky. But I think if they work it out, like with the regulations, I think we need to have like our eyes out, just like we did with the National Credit Act. We definitely need to look at like any type of regulations or legislation relating to this, and also offer our opinions and our comments.
True,
because it's the only way it'll work.
Because as a people, we need to agree whether do we want this, do we not want this,
and which places do we want it in.
True, because some people are like, why not Joburg and Cape Town? But I could see as well, like, the problem with Joburg and Cape Town is like, it's a much longer distance.
Fair.
So let's try a closer distance first.
Let's try a little bit by bit, guys. Yeah, I think Durban to Joburg is like a great start.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, we've seen Joburg to Pretoria with the Gautrain. And what a good time. The Gautrain is so fun, but they're so strict.
Yo.
They are so strict on the train. Mm-mm.
They just like, there's no skimming nonsense. Yeah. Like, you can't do whatever.
Don't do that there in CBD. This is not the place for that thing.
You literally, they will crush you. Like, yo. The Gautrain people, they do not play.
They don't play about that train. You're not going to dirty it. You're not going to be weird. You're going to have a good time, and you're going to sit still. That's the important part about this.
Yeah. And funny enough, I've seen like the reviews of the Gautrain, and from a, would I say political? But like from a political perspective, some people even feel like the Gautrain is a flop.
Yeah.
And I can agree, because it's like, the main reason why it was installed in the first place was to like alleviate traffic between Joburg and Pretoria.
Exactly.
Most people still use cars.
Absolutely.
There's still this traffic.
It's definitely Ubers that people are taking.
And also, we can always like go even deeper in saying that the areas that the Gautrain is being placed in are like areas where it's affluent areas where Absolutely. It's like basically like it's in like suburbs where, you know, people have cars. People don't really need public transport. It's kind of a choice. Why is there so much parking at a train station when it should be easily accessible, you know?
When I tell you, just thinking about it, because it stops in Sandton, Rosebank, Pretoria. And Pretoria has two stops, Hatfield and somewhere else, if I'm not mistaken.
Central.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can imagine. And then also there's the Owa Tambo one.
Yeah.
People who are going, I'm not going to lie to you, don't catch the Gautrain when you have a plane.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to, like, literally miss your flight.
Yeah, no.
It's just too, the managing and, like, walking, it's just not it.
And then also it's like, so the airport line in itself is expensive. Like, I've heard people pay, like, 200, 300 rand. And I'm like, ciao.
Imagine.
You might as well book an Uber and drive. Like,
get a friend to take you to the airport. Absolutely not.
Because
it just doesn't. I feel like maybe the marketing itself, like, yes, initially it was just to be like, let's make the commute easy between these places. But it more so now looks like a luxury.
True.
It's definitely a luxury to be using the Gautrain. And I can imagine anybody who has to use it daily, like if you are living in the East and now you have to like go and park your car in Joburg, get onto Park Station, go all the way to Sandton where you work, take another Uber from that side or a shuttle or a bus, then you get to work. It's a lot of money. You're already spending a lot of money. It's not worth it. It doesn't sound like a good time. I don't even feel like you'd be saving petrol at that point. You're just doing a lot.
Exactly. You might as well have been taking a taxi that distance.
Actually.
Like,
a taxi or a bus at this point. And you know, buses are like the best system. But the only problem is your bus can go. I'm just imagining it sitting in the back of the bus. And once the bus turns, you also turn. You turn with the bus. Do you understand?
And it's like, if it's full, now you're standing.
And you're holding on to something. And you can't lean too much on the chair. Oh, no. It's not worth it.
Even, like, I've experienced it with the Algoa bus this side.
Yeah.
Yo. It's not that bad. Like, listen, I like using it because it's, like, it's fun. But, hey, you know, firstly, like, whilst you are still trying to give the bus driver your money to go to a destination, already he or she is like,
oh my goodness.
And then you're about to pull and you're like, what's the rush?
What's happening? Relax, we're going to get there.
You know?
I promise you we're going to get there on time. Take this money.
Like, why am I falling? Like, come on now. It's too much. Oh, maybe because I also have a slight beef with it, because the last time I used it, I found out that apparently around 4 or 5 p.m., there's no buses from Green Acres back to Summer Strand.
What?
Mm-hmm.
How did you make your way back?
I had to Uber.
Oh.
That was a cost in itself. And also the fact was, like, my phone was dead. So I was like, okay, so now I need to go back into the mall, ask for a charger, wait for that charger, and then pay 100 and something to Uber back to Summer Strand.
The inconvenience alone. And you know there's, like, taxi drivers around going, where are you going? Down.
Down.
Oh. Chest pains.
Yeah.
Chest pains, for real.
You know, South African public transport really needs to...
It really needs to do better. But, like, I'm not going to lie to you. The beef people have with taxi drivers is just, like, a... Ish, guys. Which is a better alternative? Like, true. Taxis or an Uber... Or a bus. It just too many things are happening on the road. I can understand why there is a need for a railway system, obviously. And, you know, for people who are commuting also, yes. But we also, guys, I'm tired of seeing trucks on the road.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Enough is enough. Let's use the railroads for actually transporting goods and services. This is ridiculous.
Because, like, not to blame trucks, but the amount of, like, accidents that happen.
Right.
Like, it's actually insane.
And also, truck drivers don't give a damn.
They really don't.
They drive like, I'm just like, why are you swerving a tiny car? Relax. Also, this is not your car. If you crashed, your boss is going to be mad. Relax.
Your boss's phone number is on the back.
Exactly.
But now you're overtaking a bucky on a curb. Like,
like, call me if I'm driving badly. You best believe I'm calling your boss.
That's because what's going on?
What is that mess? Like, I need better for them. Yeah. I need them to do better. I can imagine it. It is a very interesting way to go about things. But also, we can't trust South Africans not... Or let me not even say South Africans. We can't trust the government to be honest about the way they go about creating this railway system.
True.
Already, this has gone towards the private sector. Mm. They need to come up with models and things like that. Best believe, if the private sector is coming up with models, they're definitely pricing you out. As a regular citizen of South Africa, oh no, babe.
It's not happening.
This is not for you.
You know, like...
You're not the target market. At all.
Literally.
They care about people who have money, so it's definitely going to be still in affluent places. And how much do you want to bet it's going to go to Shaga International? Mind you, Shaga International is so far from everything.
It is.
Why is it like that?
Well, I remember at some point I did a deep dive. I think because it's like pre-2010, they used to like be like Durban International, the old airport, which was like around like Umlazi, the south side. But then because of the runway was too short for international travel, they decided, you know what, King Shaka is a perfect location because it's outside of Durban and there's space to elongate the runway. But it is far.
I think in Glenwood or something. And I'm just there like, ooh, I'm thinking it feels like Joburg type thing. Or even PE.
Yeah.
I'm used to the PE airport. It's close to everything. It's not that far. You know, getting an Uber for it is not that. I looked at it and it said 179. I said, what? Blinked again. It said 200. I was like, wait a minute. Mind you, I have a flight. So I really cannot afford to miss this flight. Like, I didn't book it. A company did. So I'm just sitting there like, I have no choice but to spend all this damn money in order to go to this. We drove.
It's a whole road trip.
We really did. Like, at some point, I was like, are we sure going in the right direction? I was balancing on cheese. What's going on? But it's beautiful.
It is.
Oh, it's beautiful. Even the inside, like, going to the different shops, it feels way more welcoming than Oar Tambo, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Oar Tambo.
It's a mall that's also not a mall.
And it's very unappealing. It's just a brown building on the outside.
It's not, nah, man. Ushaga, when you get there, you're like, wow. Okay, trees. Okay, pizzazz. Shops and escalators. you know, Oatambo doesn't. Oatambo, you can tell when you're going to Joburg, you're going to Joburg for like business.
Yeah, it's just you need to be in and out.
Yeah, no.
You can't like walk slowly, take your time.
There's just no such thing. It doesn't feel right.
Let's not even talk about PE.
Oh, shame. A little back room. Love it. Love it.
Because that airport,
there's no way you're going, I want to discover PE. You're not discovering PE at the airport. I tell you that now.
Like, there's even carpet at the airport. Like, I don't get why is there carpet in that airport. It's brown. It's not decorated properly.
But nah. Also, the line situation at the gates, I'm like, these two lines are for two different flights at two different gates, but they're together in some way, and everybody knows where they're going. Guys, our one room, shame.
Hi.
Shame.
It does the most.
It really does.
Because you're just like, what is going on here? There's not even enough seats for all the people.
Exactly.
And also, it's like, a lot of the times when you fly in or fly out of PE, it's raining.
Yeah.
So now, from the building to the, whatchamacallit, the airplane, you're going to have to walk.
And you best believe you're going to use that pedestrian crossing.
Mm.
They don't play.
They really don't.
They don't play about that pedestrian crossing. You do not defer to anywhere else. PE, love it. Tiniest. You can never get lost.
Like.
You can never say, oh my God, no.
Yeah. Or Oratambo, okay, I wouldn't blame you. King Shark, I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah.
But PE.
No. You're not getting lost.
Like.
Not in PE.
But yeah, hey, you know, transport is an interesting topic because it forms part of our daily lives.
Yeah.
And I do feel like at the end of the day, it's like, if in all sectors or all different formats we experience problems, then it's like, okay, what must happen?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we just want to go from A to B.
Honestly, safely at that. Safely and comfortably. I think that's the most important thing. And yeah, honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. The taxi situation is murky.
It is very murky.
Because you get into a taxi and all of a sudden you're sitting in the middle next to the driver and another man. And as a woman, you have to be in the middle because you're not allowed to just decide. No man is going to sit in the middle. There's also that. There are rules in the taxi. That's like a whole thing. And then now you're sitting in front. Now you have to count the money. I don't mind. If a taxi is 15 rand, let me count the mind. If it's 20 rand, let me count the mind. 13 rand 50 is where I draw the line.
Where it's like,
because why are these numbers now being weird?
And now it's like somebody's giving you 100 rand. What must happen?
Exactly. And then so one. How am I supposed to subtract 13 rand 50 cents from 100 rand and make sure everybody else also has their change?
Yo. It's too stressful.
It doesn't sound like a good time.
Yeah, no. Transport.
Transport is a crazy time, but I think businesses in general are rocking us. I think we're going to realize very, very soon that we might actually be running at a breakdown, man. It just seems like too many things are up in arms. And it makes you wonder whether or not you can even trust any of the companies out there. The economy is looking very murky.
It is.
And we're supposed to be the so-called developed country in Africa. But South Africa is showing us
things. It's showing us that, hey, not everything is going good. And we are fighting for our lives.
Because
now, even we can't even trust fashion brands. The fashion brands are not being ethical, because basically what has occurred recently is Four Paws, which is like a international organization, has done an investigation on 102 fashion brands in 11 countries to address how they address the practice of live lamb cutting in wool supply.
Okay.
Because one thing we have heard constantly is that when it comes to like wool products and like how it's extracted from lamb, it's like it can get very murky.
Really?
Because some companies are ethical about it.
And
other ones, they kind of mutilate the lambs where it's like a chunk of skin is removed around their tails or their genitals without adequate like pain relief. So the animal is in pain whilst the wool is getting cut off.
What?
Yeah.
That's scary. Because why are you trying to keep the skin also?
True. And it's like, you take out all of this and you still keep it alive?
You see, and you are actually not providing pain relief. That's insane. That's horrible.
It is. And I feel like with that fact alone, it makes you wonder like, it makes you question the whole ethics of wool wearing.
Definitely.
But specifically like with companies that are promoting wool, we want to know, like, are you guys being ethical about it, or are you being fishy?
How are you going about it? And also, like, there's a lot of marketing around. One of my philosophy lecturers said, back in the day, I was working for that one specific company. You know that one company is very expensive, and they claim, like, free range eggs and beautifully sourced water and whatever else. And she's like, the opposite is happening behind the scenes. But because of the aesthetic of their branding, you'd never think that.
True.
You'll go to all of the farms that they go to, they're actually really, really messed up. Maybe some of the works that they do. But because of the fact that they've made themselves out to be this company that, like, is, you know, forward, luxury, you know, brings you quality stuff, you're thinking, oh my word, they definitely take care of the cows there. It's so succulent. No, they're whooping those cows.
Like,
they're not having a good time. So you can imagine when it comes to fashion, and it's all organically sourced. Organic wool from a grass-fed lamb. And you're thinking to yourself, are they well-fed? Are they well taken care of?
Like, are you sure?
And also, what difference does it make between the quality of the clothing itself? Because, I mean, I can imagine you get the same quality of wool when you're moving ethically to remove said wool than unethically.
True.
So why go to these great lengths?
Like, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't,
like,
even sound cheaper. It just sounds horrible.
Because then you're, like, purposely torturing these animals. And that's sad. And, like, also, like, despite, like, 84% of brands have publicly stated they're opposed to live lamb cutting, 67% of those brands have failed to clearly disclose how they address the LLC cutting through their policies or, like, their product labeling.
My goodness.
And when you find out a lot of clothes, they don't say that whether was this ethically sourced or not. They're just like, do not iron. Yeah. Do not wash.
Definitely.
You know, it's like,
made in China wool, done. Oh my word.
67%.
See, the discomfort of something like this is, then it feels like you're being nitpicky when you're like, where do I buy my clothing? How do I ensure that I don't contribute to this? Then it's just like, oh, you guys are too woke. But, like, truly, why would you want to contribute to that type of torture?
True. Because it's also not only about the animals. It's because, like, the animals get tortured. The humans also get tortured.
They
because,
don't care.
Because, it's like, they get underpaid. Or they even don't even get paid at all.
You know, the Shein scandal.
Hey.
And the Temu scandal. Yo. With them saying that they use underage labor. It's a lot.
It is.
You cannot be going to this great a length in order to make sure that you, like, sell fashion. That just can't be it.
Especially before clothes that don't even last after 6 months.
They really don't. Fast fashion is making its way in and out. And you know what? Also, it works with trends. Because now this clothing is, like, maybe relevant. But in a few months, it won't be. And what do you do with the clothing then? Just leave it in your cupboard and never use it again. That poor lamb.
Like,
lost his genitalia just for vibes.
Literally. Just for one Instagram photo done.
Exactly. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Give me zero.
I mean, there is one brand that, you know, I don't know if it's safe to name them.
Go ahead.
Michael Kors.
Are they on the good or on the bad side?
They scored 0 points in the investigation. Because they have no response, no certification, no transparency. So it's murky on that side. Their side.
Michael Kors. Mind you, their handbags look so gorgeous.
Literally.
So you're also asking yourself, how do they make these?
These.
And that's a very big brand.
It is.
That's a very, very big, prominent brand. But I think that's also the messed up thing about, like, society. Look at what happened with Balenciaga and the children thing. So, and people are still wearing it. People are still going to the runway shows and whatever, fashion shows, all that. So you can imagine, even when this comes out, people are going to be, like, outraged by it. But soon enough, the baby girls are going to be holding Michael Kors bags.
Literally. And it's just going to be like, so do you not care? Or
it really does beg the question. It's just like, do you care about the bag? Or do you care about the the ethics of it, or you're just trying to secure that bag, man, and trying to get that
trying to get that status, like I can afford this.
Let me get that shmoney, let me go. But that's the messed up thing, is public perception and what people do with said public perception.
True.
It begs the question, when you know something wrong or something bad is happening, are you a General Mkhwanazi or are you a Senzo Mchunu?
Yeah.
Two different people. Mkhwanazi is just saying, I came here to do my job. You guys are like literally messing with me and this is illegal. Or your Senzo Mchunu is just like, ish, give me the money, I'll wipe my mouth. I will never ever say I saw you.
Just for that paycheck.
Exactly. Ooh. So you're trying to like secure the bag for real? Or are you just trying to be on the right side of history?
True. And I feel like being on the right side of history, I feel like it's such a stance because basically there's so many things you have to go against.
Absolutely.
It's like so many fashion brands you must not wear. Mm. So many food brands you must not support.
Restaurant chains. Look, with the Palestinian situation, it's been no Coke, no McDonald's, no Starbucks. We're boycotting, you know what I mean? Mm. And other people are just there taking pictures of themselves with a McCrispy. They're talking about, oh, McFizzy Mnandi. Guys, what happened to boycotting? So it really is like a very important stance that you take, but understand that you'd be going against a very big system.
Mm.
And you need to be able to stand on business and say, look, it doesn't matter. Like, it just does not work with my ethics, and that's just what it is.
Because especially when you look at the bigger picture, it's just like, I mean, that Big Mac is not worth people dying.
Exactly.
You know? Like, it really isn't.
I think it also goes back to, like, the railway situation.
Mm.
You can imagine if somebody gets a tender to be able to, you know, create trains or, like, make sure that the rail corridors are in operation.
Mm.
And then somebody's just like, yeah, you have to pay me a protection fee in order to ensure that to happen. How do you take a stance like that? Do you protect what it is? Do you make sure that this person gets handed to the police? But even then, police are complicit. So there's really, like, there's a corrupt system itself is something very hard to go up against.
True.
It needs you to be, like, really strong at it.
And really, like, stay focused.
Right?
I feel like there's so much social pressure to just comply.
Exactly.
And it's just like, yeah, you can comply, but then what does that mean for you and your soul and your ethics?
Mm.
Because then if you can be complicit about one thing, you can be complicit about many things.
Yeah, it definitely is like a domino effect.
Mm.
If that one thing you let go of, it's going to affect everything.
True, because everything's interconnected at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Hey!
Because it was tough, because it was difficult. Not only did we give you a lot of things about post-elections from the SGD itself, now we're telling you even more depressing news about different countries. But you know what? Different companies, sorry. But it be like that sometimes.
It be like that indeed.
It really do be like that.
What can you say at this point?
Actually.
Like.
The only thing we can do, man, I think it definitely is, which is a sad thing, but would you chase the bag? Or would you chase your ethics? Very important. Let us know on Madiba's Radio on all social media platforms. We definitely look forward to hearing from you.
Definitely. And of course, this has been Science Package Law Show. Katlego, where can they find you on the social media streets?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets. And anywhere else, you've gone too far. I will maintain this till the day I die. If you see me anywhere else besides Instagram, you didn't.
Like, please.
That
like,
was a mistake, and that's AI.
Hey, like, hey, that's another topic.
Exactly.
So, don't do too much. Stick to Instagram, and you'll be good.
Exactly. Where can we find you?
Of course, you can find me on Instagram at ketela.tsigo and on Facebook at Tsigo K in Ndlovu, even though Facebook is a very Eastern Cape thing.
Hey.
They
start side-eyeing you. Any other province, they start side-eyeing you. What do you mean here, Facebook? But here, if you don't have Facebook, then you are a loser.
True. It's like, why aren't you posting on Facebook? I'm just like,
posting?
Why?
I'm there. I'm lurking. I'm not going to lie to you. Same. I'm on Facebook. Don't follow me. But I'm lurking. I'll follow you.
Mm.
I'm lurking. It's part of my job, though, as a journalist. I'm not trying to be a stalker, I promise.
But of course, this has been Science Package Law Show. And as we always say, bye.
Bye.
the best youth station in the Bay. Medivas Radio.
Sleep? What's that? If late night scrolling has you staring at the ceiling, try Really Calm Night, a calming combo that improves sleep quality and helps you sleep for longer to wake up feeling refreshed. No sleepless nights, just good mornings. Really Calm Night. Sleep well. Live well. Cipla. Caring for life.